Welcome to Talks at Stellenbosch Uni, Stellenbosch University's podcast where we talk about current topics and innovative research done at the university.
This is part two of our Women's Month podcast, and I have the honor and privilege to introduce Ms. Kimara Singh, our Media and Communications Manager at Marti Sport. And I have to say personally, she is young, she is feisty.
Oh, stop.
Yes, and she does amazing work. And sometimes when I go into the office or I see what she puts up online and on social media, I'm just like, Kimara, I want to be you. I feel so old because I don't know all these things, all these, you know, snazzy.
It's a team effort. It's definitely a team effort.
It's a team effort, but you are a good leader, a good manager.
Thank you. Thank you. What a wonderful way to start this podcast.
Of course, because we have to raise each other up as women. You know, this whole thing about women pulling themselves down. No, no, no. Give credit where it's due. And I mean, I'd like people to know that Kimara is not even 30. She is young and she has been in the university sports space within media and comms at, you know, this level for at least, is it more than 5 years now?
Yeah, I think maybe started when I was a student, so like 2016, more than five years.
More than 5 years at this top level, you know, and now she's in a managerial position at Stellenbosch for one so young. And let me tell you, most of our managers at Marti Sport are like what, in their 40s on average? The average age is like in their 40s. So for someone who hasn't even hit 30 yet, Inspirational.
Thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate that. I'm taking that win for today.
Okay, my pleasure. So for those listening, the first part of the podcast was about, you know, me, and now we switched and now I'm going to be the interviewer and Kimara is going to be my interviewee.
It's a very uncomfortable position for me because I'm always the one asking the questions.
Exactly. And she knows how to ask questions. But me being a researcher as well, this is also going to allow me to ask questions in a non-research context, conversationally. So I hope I do you justice, Kimara.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So I think your topic or what we're going to cover for your section is the media. Media and sports specifically, but specifically to narrow it down, women in the sport media landscape. So I think, Kimara, I'm going to ease you into it. And I think we are now, 2022, like almost 2.5 years since COVID hit us. And we're now coming to the tail end of COVID. So globally, there was a big hit to media and communications when the world stood still for sport, especially women's sport. But I would like to know for you personally, during your experience, because when COVID hit, you were not at Stellenbosch, you were at University of Johannesburg. So I'd like to know what your experience was covering sport during the pandemic and now, post-COVID, if you have to compare the two institutions, because people talk about post-COVID, but we actually left COVID, say, a year ago or even 18 months ago when the vaccines were released. So how was your experience covering sport, if you just say from the start of last year coming into this year, so comparing the two institutions?
Yeah, so I was actually freelancing when COVID was kind of hit. But I think that it was completely different. It was a space that was difficult, if I can say that, especially for us who are fully invested in sport, to not have any sporting activity happening. It's difficult. And I think it also changed the media landscape specifically because it meant that because there is no sport happening, people in the media had to be creative and more creative to kind of showcase sport in a different light. And I think when we started easing back into stadiums and sports starting, although I think that some of the sport in South Africa, specifically with women, actually had a harder hit because they actually, like, for example, the Sasol League actually only started later than the PSL and those kind of things. But it was a difficult experience to have to cover sport in a different light. But as we came back into sport behind closed doors, I think it just showed so much how much fans mean to our players, to us as people in the media and comms environment, because, I mean, you know, sport is nothing without the fans, I would like to say. But yeah, it was difficult. Like, I think I was doing a few like short courses and trying to get myself up with the trends, and it was like you were trying to stay on the ball, but everyone was stagnant. The world had stopped. And for me, as someone who supports Liverpool, and we went into a time where it was the best season of our lives, and well, my life particularly. And it was so difficult to be like, okay, cool, my team was going to win the league, and then this happened. I was like, is the bigger man upstairs against me right now? But but yeah, I mean, like, post-COVID, it was a time for people to be creative, to kind of unlock the experiences. Like, we did a lot of things. Everything moved a lot digitally. And you see that now the digital space is obviously now something that people are more accepting of. And it also showed and showcased how important media people are in giving the voice to our athletes, to our sport, to everything, when fans couldn't necessarily be in the stadiums. So yeah, that was my experience. And I think especially when we started coming back, so behind closed doors with no fans, it's really difficult. I don't even know how athletes managed it. And as someone who's worked in the media space, I actually didn't like it either. And we also had, like, in terms of, because I started here at Stellenbosch University in June of 2021, and it was still one of that stop, start, stop, start. We had competitions maybe going ahead and then being cancelled because of restrictions and all of that. So I can finally say that we're at a point where, you know, the beginning of this year, we're able to welcome back fans and have a Varsity Cup final. And that experience has just been so enriching. So yeah, it's been very different, but also, you know, easing into back into like sport as it was before is completely different. The landscape has completely changed, and I think you just have to roll with the trends now. So, I mean, during lockdown, TikTok became massive. It was the most downloaded app, I think, in 2020 or 2021. And it just shows that people's attention spans also is getting smaller and smaller. So, yeah, that's just what I've learned personally from post and pre-COVID.
I see. Now, I just want to give some clarity for those listening. Kimora touched on Sasol and PSL. So for those listening, that is our soccer. In America, they'd say soccer. The rest football. Of the world, they'd say football. Yes. So our national league. So the PSL is the Professional Soccer League. So the Premier League of South African football for the men. And the Sasol League is for the women. It's a semi-professional league. Kimora also mentioned Varsity Cup. So the universities. So Varsity Cup is almost, should we say, almost like the NCAA of South Africa.
Yes.
The NCAA champs of South Africa. So Varsity Cup is for different sports. So you have Varsity Cup for most university sports, rugby, hockey, cricket, athletics.
Predominantly high performance, yeah.
Yeah, so predominantly high performance. So the sports that South Africa does well in internationally, the universities compete against each other for a national champion. So that is our Varsity Cup. So that's just a asterisk sidebar. And then, Kimora, I just want to also just ask some follow-up questions, because you touched on these during your response. You said that the media and comm space became difficult. So I'd like to know how or why was it difficult? How were you creative? And now that things became more digital, doesn't that disadvantage a few people within our sporting landscape in South Africa? Because data, or data, as they say overseas, is so expensive in South Africa. So migrating to digital, isn't that expensive, especially for those who are up and coming within, and like even freelancers within the media and communication space?
Yeah, so I'm going to touch on the creativity one. You know, I'm just like you, Nana, as you said in your podcast earlier on, that you just get ideas and you're like, actually, you know what, this is great, I need to maybe action this. And it comes in different spaces, like social media and the way you write articles and the way you portray people. Like, I was trying to be very consistent, especially during COVID, where I would give a voice to the women's sport and our sporting codes and everything that was going on in their landscape at that time. Because, like, people want to know these things. People need to be aware that this is currently what's happening with women's sports. So that's how I try to be more creative. But as you said, yeah, in South Africa, I mean, yesterday I myself was like, how is my data already finished? And I was I'm like, no ways, no, this is not right. But it is definite in Africa specifically, although we're moving into this digital space, our people at grassroots levels are probably being left behind because of this. And this is where things like true inclusion also comes into play, that people need to be included. So many things need to be changed, because if we are moving to this post-analog into a digital age, what is going to happen to the people who actually don't have what they need to actually hear from people, kind of giving the voice to the voiceless? But now digital is something that is not always going to be accessible to people in Africa, maybe. So it's difficult. It's a difficult one. And I don't want to say that people are being left behind, that they deserve that, because they also deserve the tools to be able to be accessing everything that we are like producing and doing digitally. So there's so much that needs to change. And I hope that the media space also becomes a space where it is more accessible to people who are underprivileged and can now maybe grasp. Like they say, you know, there's so much. I mean, Twitter for me is a space that is like crazy. I think that place is the place for a voice for the voiceless, because people start protests on Twitter. If I'm not mistaken, even Black Lives Matters may have started on Twitter. So it's things like that that actually need to be accessible to people on the grassroots levels. And, you know, I don't even know personally how things can change, because if apps like this can actually help in helping with movements like Black Lives Matter, that's become a massive globally recognized thing, people on the ground should also be able to be part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we should start a revolution.
Exactly.
Women's sports matters. We start a revolution. We start something similar on Twitter for sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, okay, I do see some people on my timeline saying, oh, you know, soccer Twitter is back, or, you know, sports Twitter this or that. But you will be so surprised. I personally love Twitter. I tell people that I can watch a game by reading everyone's tweets, because that's how much information you can get online, which is crazy. And I personally like the space, because even though it is a space that a lot of bad can happen on, there is a lot of good. And I think the fast and quick nature of how things go on Twitter is just it's great, and especially for sport, which is something that obviously we have different kinds of sport and people are always commenting. I mean, for the big games, you can just follow one hashtag and
you are everything.
In deep. Yeah, you're in deep.
Yeah.
So I think that it's something, a tool we can use, especially to grow like women sport movements. And I know there are some pages or accounts online that specifically for South Africa or Africa, like promote women's sport. So I think using these tools to our advantage is super, super crucial in advancing women's sport specifically in our country and the continent. But you know, baby steps.
Baby steps. They always say that the journey begins with a single step, which is what we are both trying to do right now.
Yeah.
And especially with you, because I think that in both our spaces, but I think probably specifically in your space, which is the media space, there's hardly any women. Like, you literally have to count or literally have to search for the woman. Mm-hmm. So when they say the media and communication space, the sports media and communication space is male dominated, they are not joking. So what inspired you to take this path, which is hardly ever taken in South Africa, where you see a new face maybe once every couple of years?
Yeah, so I think for me, maybe the first time I was actually aware that I was very into sport was, I think, maybe 2003 when we hosted the ICC Cricket World Cup.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was very aware. My parents have been involved in sport, and they also obviously watch a lot of sport. And they were, I think, going to the semifinals and the final of the World Cup. And by that time already, I was fully invested. And I think as my life progressed, I tried my hand at writing, which I really liked. And when I got into university, I just fell in love with sport more. And when I did my degree, everything I did was sport specific, even though it wasn't, I mean, Rhodes kind of trains hard news journalists. You'll see a lot of them on like ENCA or, you know, SABC and all of this stuff. But I was very, very true to my path. And as you said, you know, passion also goes a long way. So I think I also started volunteering a lot, writing a lot, like sport-wise. I was very like in tune to what I wanted. And I'm so thankful that today my vision for my life, or, you know, in my sporting career, that I started as a student volunteer at University Sports South Africa in probably like 2016 or 2017. And now I can say I'm at a university full time covering university sport, which I think is great growth. But what made me actually aware, and because I brought that cricket example, is that actually during that time, Cass Naidoo was also coming on to the cricket commentating front. And for me, it was exactly like what you said, like seeing someone, you, who looks like you. And everyone in my school would be like, oh, you're like Cass Naidoo. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But you know what I mean? But I actually loved it. And just seeing her and listening to her, and then also having the privilege to later in my life go to some of G-Sport's like awards, and also like blog for them, and it's crazy how life works. And I think also, although it is definitely a male-dominated space, when you meet the woman in the space, it's so much better, because you're actually a group of people that now know each other. So in the media space, there are specific, I can tell you, like, it is so much better now than it was previously. And I think there's so much growth, especially in sport media for women. A lot of people are being more active in wanting to pursue this career. I'm not sure if there's the most opportunities present, but for our teams at the moment, there's a lot of media managers who are women. So I think that's great. It's great progression, especially for South Africa. And in terms of the landscape of where women are, I think we always also help each other. So I know there's a group of women who in the media space I can go to and get advice from and actually learn from. And that's why I try to keep in touch with all the people and also all the different environments and stuff, because, you know, we learn from each other. And the only thing I would say about the male dominated is that mostly when we speak maybe of print media and now more digital, is that a lot of newsrooms are very male dominated, and it's very rare to find women covering sport as a sports journalist.
And for those listening, I just want to also highlight when Kimara said that when she was younger, she saw Cass Naidoo. So just for some context, I hope I get this right. So your heritage is South Asian, right? So you are Indian heritage, correct?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
Yes. So Kimara's ancestors, of course, arrived in South Africa. So they are South Asian or Indian. She's specifically Indian, South Asian heritage. And Cass Naidoo, who at the time was, I think, the only South Asian Indian sports reporter.
Yeah, broadcaster
in South Africa. Kimara saw that and she was like, wow, there's someone who looks like me. So it goes back to what I mentioned, that we need young people need to see individuals who look like them.
Absolutely,
in certain spaces. I mean, unfortunately for me, I cannot say that there was someone like that, a black African. So there wasn't one. There were females academics, female researchers. So I was like, okay, I don't see any black African sports specific researchers in South Africa. So I see a woman, so let me go for it. So, I mean, for me, it was the gender, not the racial identities. But it's more powerful when it's a racial identity. And what I want to also ask, because this is very important, what kept you going, you know, when you had setbacks within this industry? Because I think your industry is even tougher than mine. So what kept you going? Because if you hadn't kept going, you wouldn't be at Stellenbosch, which is knocking on the door, people, of being the number one sports university in South Africa. Just letting you know.
By the way, we are
chasing Pretoria University. We are literally breathing down their necks. So watch this space. We will be number one soon. So what motivated you and got you to where you are when you had setbacks?
Shucks, and I feel like there have been a lot of setbacks in my career. You know what? It's easy. I must say that my family and friends really, really have gathered around me when I've had setbacks, and I'm so grateful for that. But also, I think a little part of that was my determination and also that never give up spirit, where whenever I did receive a setback, I think I tried my best to look at the bigger picture and really, really like push forward. So I wasn't working in 2020 when COVID hit. I was freelancing. And a lot of that time, every small thing that I could do or learn from, I did to better myself. So I wrote about women's sport during that time. I attended workshops. I was privileged enough to sit on Zoom calls with people from Sky Sport.
Wow.
Yeah, there's this, it's called Kick It Out, and they had some sessions with like media people, and it's well-known names in the UK. So I sat on that. I was part of the South African Women Foundation, assisting in their conference. There was a lot that I did and a lot that I tried to better myself with. I even went back and did another sports writing course. And it's all that small stuff that you keep, as you said, you keep like knocking on the door, or you keep bettering yourself, or you keep at it, basically. It's, I don't know how I did. I stayed motivated because it was a very demotivating time in my life.
Yeah.
But like I said, my family and friends really, really supported me. And that is what helped me the most. And, you know, setbacks is only something that prepares you for a comeback. So shout outs.
Yeah. And I mean, as you can hear from Kimara's voice and my voice earlier, to those listening, we are real, we are honest, and we are passionate about sport and our spaces that we encompass in sport. Now, going off of what you've just said, Kimara, what would your advice be to a young girl or a young woman sitting somewhere, especially in South Africa or Africa, who wants to break into the sports media industry, and especially if they have limited resources or access?
Yeah, so I think my biggest advice to people, especially I'm a young woman, would be to, first of all, believe in yourself, believe in your vision, believe in the plan for your life, but also stay determined in knowing what you need to do to get yourself to where you need to be. I think it's always great to also get a mentor in a space that will be able to also open up some doors for you. There is this quote from a late Liverpool manager. His name is Bill Shankly, and he said that a lot of football success is in the mind. You must believe you are the best and then make sure you are the best. And I think also, it's like something I really like live by, that even though I started here at the university a year ago, I still have a lot of plans that I want to see our sport advance and our sport media space also get better. I mean, look at America and how much they latch on to college sport. And I really believe that we can also have that landscape here in South Africa. But yeah, in terms of my advice, I think, believe in yourself, be unapologetic. I think that's so, so important. Be motivated and determined, but also know that people who are next to you are also going to be a catalyst, so a mentor or your family and friends. Surround yourself with people who are going to push you forward and push you to achieving your dreams and goals.
Yeah. And just to also just touch on when Kimara said getting a mentor doesn't mean you just go to someone and say, be my mentor. You need to align yourself with the right person.
Absolutely.
You need to be proactive. If that person's going to be your mentor, you need to also have a plan for yourself and how that person can assist you or guide you towards where you want to be. That's when mentorship actually works. So that is just a hint for those of you listening. Listening, just by the way. And I think just two final points, of course, Kimara. What needs to change in the media landscape specifically for women's sport locally and or globally? And what do you want to tell the men out there in our sport media industry?
Yeah, so my fellow sport journalists, who are male, I just want people to be more accountable. So when you're in a newsroom and you're pitching stories, please just remember that they are women's sport. And, you know, it's not only when we're doing well. I like to maybe just bring up this example now that, you know, Banyana.
Yeah.
I think a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, they actually were not paid. And they were those women. I think Boosie broke that story. She mentioned that, you know, the women weren't being paid for so many months. And it's now that people are giving them more recognition because obviously they won the women's AFCON. But I want people to, especially in environments where it's male-dominated in a newsroom space, I want people to be more accountable and also be covering women's sport and trying to stay away from things like sexualizing their bodies,
yes,
using specific terms when speaking about women. There's so many things. And also this ties in with what true inclusivity is. It's that not everyone is heteronormative or has specific sexual orientation. You must know that we're in a landscape that is completely different. So I want people to be more aware of that. And the way we portray women and the coverage we have for women, especially when males write about them, is at the moment very problematic. So we can't say that Caster Semenya should be running with men. We can't say that, oh, Serena Williams is retiring, it's good, because she was so always angry on the court. We need to be more aware of how we are portraying people. And I think men also need to be allies, as you said. We need more men covering women's sport and covering them correctly. It's not only about their physical appearance or their sexual orientation or what ideologies they stand for. It's about them as athletes. Why can they not be given the same recognition as male athletes? Why must they be portrayed in a specific light, whereas the males are not given the same, what can I say, the same kind of coverage?
Dismissive coverage.
So I think also what also needs to change is that there needs to be like a framework of covering women's sport, and locally and globally. It needs to be something that people not conform to, but at least use as guidelines when they are covering women's sport. And it can't only be when we're at the Olympics or the Commonwealth Games or a big tournament. It must be in between. It has to be at grassroots levels. It has to be at university sport events. It has to be at local leagues like our Telkom Netball League, our Sasol League. So there's so much more that needs to be done. And if you are a male who is in a newsroom and is pitching specific stories, please at least be accountable to be open, accountable and open to wanting to explore covering women's sport. And I think that's it for me.
Thank you, Kimora. And I just want to add on to what Kimora said in terms of how women are portrayed in media coverage. This being Women's Month in South Africa, I would just like to plant the seed in the minds of journalists, especially the men, because there are some female journalists who conform and report on women's sport in a negative light, using the similar language to the way male reporters write up, is that, remember, the coverage, that the way that you cover women's sport, and especially when you identify individuals, if we actually even go back to the AFCON, Kimara, and the issue with the Zambian captain, and the sex identity, is it the sex confirmation that they tried to do, or the gender confirmation that they tried to do? The way that it was reported disgusted me. And it seems like a lot of reporters, men and women are at fault, but mostly men, is that that is a human being. That is a person.
Exactly, yeah.
And the way that you cover a story, especially individuals, especially when it's not always about a win and it's about them personally, it can be damaging to them, to that individual personally, because it seems like a lot of people forget we all came from a woman.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
That is all I'm going to say. We all came from a woman. All men have mothers or a female who helped raise them, mostly. So how you report on women or females, that could also be construed as how you personally view women.
Yeah.
Women as well. And I'm just going to leave it at that, is that we all came from women. So why can't you give that respect that you give your mom or your sister or your wife or even your girl child? Why can't you give that same respect when you're covering a story on a female sports or a female sports person or a female athlete? I'm just going to leave it at that.
Drops mic. Drops mic, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've gone a bit over time, but Gosh, I mean, I've been in bed sick, but this has inspired me and galvanized me. I really loved this conversation, Kimara.
Oh, I it was a great time.
It was, and we are going to put plans in place, even if it means we work on weekends or think of something.
We already work on weekends. We work in sport. Yeah.
Yes. And research, there's never a thing as you have a free weekend. But we are going to try and see if we can make this an ongoing thing. Just to let you know, we are in the process of working towards our next podcast being on covering the heads of sports. So the people who are the directors of sports at our four institutions or universities in the Western Cape, bringing you a podcast on their personal reflections and their personal experiences in sport, especially inclusion in sport. But we'll let you know. We'll probably tweet about it. Kimara will probably tweet about it, and I will retweet when that is in the pipeline and ready to be posted.
Yeah, so please follow us online. A lot of information is on our website, and obviously Marty's Sport, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Yeah.
You can follow us.
And Marty Sport, we actually do have a website. It's www.sport.sun.ac.za, and we actually also publish, you know, short articles from staff and student athletes as well. So we are doing things differently from any other university in South Africa.
We're trying our best.
Yes, we are trying. We, as we said, our vision is to be thought leaders, to show people how things can be done differently. And so, yeah, goodbye to everyone until the next time.
Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow all the latest Stellenbosch University news at www.sun.ac.za or follow us on all the largest social media platforms.